Thank you all for being here this morning in the presence of God to help us to celebrate and dedicate our good buddy. Our buddy every day to the week, and we have a good time. Rico, since you got a new grandchild, get ready. It's on the way. Amen. Grandmas and daddies and mamas and aunties and uncles and everybody get busy when the babies are in the house. So we praise God this morning. Thank you all for coming and being with us today. We won't endeavor to be long, but we want to give you a word from the Lord that we believe will help in the raising of this young man to come. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you, God, for blessing us right now. God, for setting us up for this particular great event. God, we thank you that you have blessed family and friends to come together and to pour out love and affection in this great dedication. But most of all, God, we ask that you continue to watch over this young baby, watch over the family, watch over them as they go forward, oh Father. Allow them to feel your presence more and more and more each and every day. And God, as we preach this word, we do say thank you. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, thy strength and thy redeemer. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
My wife loves to say the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will never pass away. People of God, training our children and setting them on a path to success, both spiritually and physically, is an awesome responsibility. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Y'all say a few amens and then I'll hurry up and sit down. I'm waiting for Brother Allen to say, okay, amen.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Back in the day, we had not just our parents, but my sister and I can tell you that in North Carolina, we had the village to help us raise us.
That's right.
And Grandma So and Miss Susie So, and in our case on our street was Miss Leah and Clee and Rachel, and you keep naming them, we got them. Everybody was a family member to us in the village. And so they would get on our case to help us to get on the right path, even when Mama and Daddy were not around. They were the village, and the village would help train up a child the way he or she should go. Amen from all of you adults and teenagers who helped to get on track and stay on track by your village. I know you had one, and so we praise God for your village. And now that we are the parent, the grandparent, the step-parent, or the adoptive parent, it doesn't matter whether we like the training responsibilities that God places on us or not. Because when we are raising our children, for some of you who raised your children, the word of God, the Bible, says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. This means that we adults in the room, we adults at the church, we adults even in the home, mark the success that is set by God. That is, we have an awesome task of identifying the right principles and mannerisms and spiritual foundations to help our kids get where they should be going in this life. I hope y'all know I'm right about it.
Amen.
I'm just going to ask one or two amens here and there for all one or two of you. But you know, this is what God is saying. We got to know that we got to have the right foundation.
Yeah.
In fact, the Message translation of the Bible says that The way we should go is to point your kids in the right direction. Also, and like a part of what we know, when we're old, they won't be lost. Old means older than after your kids are children and they get through childhood and they get through puberty and all that stuff that they will have to navigate. We'll find ourselves further along in age, and we need to build our minds with things that will help us later in life.
Amen.
So people of God, of this house and of the social media that is viewing us, God wants you parents and you people, aka you village folk, here and on our social media broadcast, train them up.
Yeah.
Train them up.
Yeah.
Train them up.
Yes.
That's our subject for you today.
Amen.
This train them up responsibility requires that we gain our children's attention. We gain their respect. We gain their love. We gain their loyalty. We gain their honor. And we gain their trust.
Amen.
That he or she should be guided. Or, and when they're old, not a senior citizen, as I talked about, but more experienced when they're making their own decisions. They are guided so that they know what those decisions should be. What does train them up mean? I'm going to get to the preacher back here in just a few minutes. What does train them up mean? You see, in the Hebrew language, training them up meant that there was something called a hanok. The hanok signifies how Christian children are to be raised in the love and reverence for God. The Hanak is translated in the Old Testament as meaning to dedicate, which relates to why we are here today. You see, the Hanak gives us a great reason for dedicating our sons and daughters, because the Bible says in Psalm 127:3 that when they are dedicated to the Lord, that our children are a reward from God. And that our sons are a heritage, meaning they are a good possession to have, and that is given to us by God.
Amen.
In other words, when the scripture says train them up, it means first and foremost that we help our children understand God. That we help them understand the culture that shapes them in the world environment in which they will live and grow in. Train them up so they can be prepared for what's to come and hear the love that they should have. So let me just make a few points and I'll take my seat. Since God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him can be saved. And training them up, first point is, we must have true love for our children. True love for our children. True love is being there for your children. Loving them unconditionally. I don't know about you, but sometimes you don't know whether you can love them unconditionally. And I will tell you that as a pastor, I particularly love it when I see an openly loving family on their child, when they give them a kiss, or they give them an approving nod, or they give encouragement. And I definitely love it when I see a responsible mother nurturing her child day in and day out. Not just nurturing them just any kind of way, but in true love. And I started not to put this in there, but I will put my son-in-law and my daughter on blast because they love to get into my son-in-law, especially love the roughhouse with the baby. They have a good time. He just falls all out laughing because he's in the roughhouse family. And they're having a great time. They give him a kiss and they love him unconditionally, even as a little baby.
Yeah.
And so they are modeling what God's love is for us. They're modeling what God says to us about love, that we send to our children in an orbit of love. Whether it was your child got here by conception or blending or stepchildren or even adoption, doesn't matter, that you're still sending love no matter what the circumstances are. Now that being said, I know there are many of you who have done the very same thing where you kiss and you roughhouse and you have a good time with your babies. But so God said, have a good time. And this didn't just happen in your life just because it happened some time ago, but it is has been in some families a generational thing where they keep on training them up. What am I talking about? I know you're thinking I might be going in circles. Sometimes, though, their life gets them into a pain them up. Then the family tell them to shut them up. And then sometimes they don't even want to brain them up. Let me explain. In other words, train them up as being developed as the pain in their lives instead of limiting stress on them. They find as they grow that some of the children are so pained in their own home because they got uncaring parents, uncaring culture around them, and an uncaring church. I know I'm right about it. I don't have to ask you because I know it's out there. Not only that, the children today are more than ever are suffering under the pain of neglect,
yes,
pain of abuse,
yes,
and the pain of rejection.
Yes.
I want y'all to help me preach it just a minute.
Yes.
And to make matters worse, these little harmless ones are being used in hurtful ways,
yes,
abused and misused in households,
yes,
that are loaded with fussing and fussing parents,
yes,
grandparents, and those that are living a negative life around them.
Yes.
It makes you sick sometimes to hear the fathers and the mothers that are intentionally not providing adequate provision, not providing patience needed for these children, and no real protection. Makes you sad sometimes. Finally, I will tell you, training them up because there is no bringing them up. Because children are not being encouraged nowadays to be more than just average intelligent beings. In fact, studious smart kids are subject to ridicule because they got some brains upstairs and they make good grades and folks don't want them to make the good grades. Even some of the guidance counselors in the schools now want the kids to be dumbed down, so they can say later on that they wasn't going to be nothing.
Yeah.
They ain't nothing. Yeah. And ain't nothing to come. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
But training them up in God's word, helping us direct and show them that they are capable of being just like the army said, be all that you can be. Because God didn't say in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. I have plans for hope. I have plans for a future. And that means you can be all that you want to be.
Amen.
So we find that even in this culture, there is no bringing up. Things are helping our kids not to be encouraged. So they essentially study the streets. They study gang members. They study cell phones. They study the opposite sex.
Yes.
Some of them are studying the same sex.
Yes.
Some are studying social media and heaven knows what else. But let me tell you this. In the way that God directs, training them up must occur every single day.
Amen.
You see, from the time they are born as a child, they watch the actions of the parents.
Amen.
And if the child sees the parents cussing, fussing, and fighting, guess what you're going to probably see later on in the child? Because the child is only going to repeat those things that they seen before. Not every child, but some of them, a lot of them, will follow up and do exactly what they have seen. In other words, children, they see what they do, and they find ways, if the parents was doing them four-letter words, that they're going to do the four-letter words too. Some of them down days are even four-letter wording their own parents to their faces.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm going to leave that alone. I will tell you a story, though. When I was recently in the dollar store, this man comes up with his three kids. And all he did the whole time he was there, he didn't care who talked to him and who knew what he was doing. He cussed and he fussed those kids out the entire time. So the cashier looked at me and said, "What is going on, sir?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "But I'm hoping and I'm praying that one day he will realize that he cannot be saying these kinds of things to his children, because one day they might cuss him."
That's right.
And she began to say, "Thank you for that word, because I was very disappointed that this man would cuss his children out just like that." I mean, young kids, just putting them down and acting like they were nothing. You see, my father believed in when you disagree or you didn't like something, you didn't like somebody, especially if it was with your spouse or your significant other, you must learn to agree to disagree without being disagreeable. I hope y'all heard me, because sometimes we get wrapped up in ourselves and we don't decide that we're going to just agree to disagree. And also in my house, my parents never had an argument. Some heated discussions maybe, but never had an argument, because they believed that there was never to be any violence, never to go to bed angry, and never to let the children think that there is discord going on in the house. So you had to see them do the right thing so that his children and all the people around could see that they were doing it God's way.
Amen.
And that is what I have as a part of this service to tell you.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, Pastor Keith. All right, bless God for training up our children. But can I tell you that it is our impression that the Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, includes the handling of children, not only in the First Testament, but he also includes them in the Second Testament. And I believe it because there was something that we just might overlook. And when something is important, I've learned, Pastor Smotherson, that the Lord will put it in his word 2, 3, 4, 5 times because he doesn't want us to miss it. And so when we check out the gospel writer named Mark, specifically when our eyes fall down on Mark the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16 in the Message translation, it not only tells us, but it shows us in action Jesus' heart for children. And the Bible reads like this. It says, "The people
people brought their children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them.
Yeah.
The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate, and he let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering up the children in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. Oh, you see, I find that this pericope of scripture comforting to my own spirit, because it creates a word picture of the love that Jesus has for these young souls. It also is a lesson for parenting. You see, children are the weakest among us, the most vulnerable among us, and the most dependent among us, and to some degree, some think they are the most insignificant among society. Upon close examination, Pastor Keith, of the text and the context of this Bible story, we witness even Jesus' own disciples did not value the children as they should have. Come on, somebody. You see, here we see parents doing the right thing, amen, bringing their little children to Jesus. As was the custom, they would bring their children to the rabbis for them to lay hands and to pray and to bless them. And so on this day, they brought the children to Jesus in hopes that he would lay hands on them and bless them. But for some reason, the disciples, the Bible says, a Message translation says that the disciples shooed them off. I just have a question for the house this morning, Reverend Jay. Have you ever missed out on a blessing because somebody shooed Jesus away from your life? Because somebody dismissed him or attempted to remove him out of your life? I'm just asking you to think on that one, you see, because this was the case of the disciples not valuing what children meant to the Messiah. These men, I'm surprised these men who walked and talked with Jesus daily thought that the children was simply a disruption to his ministry and a waste of time to this busy man. In other words, they saw these little people like some people see these little people, that they were all up in grown folk business. Who've heard that before? Amen. Somebody. The Message translation continues by saying, but Jesus was irate, and he let them know. I need somebody to stick a pin right there, because here are four major points that the translation makes that will actually reinforce, highlight, and expand what Pastor Keith has already said. So indulge me for a minute. The first point I'm going to tell you is that we need to let the children come. Down through the years, society has determined the places and spaces where children are and are not welcome. I think I'm right about that. And there's nothing wrong totally with that type of a situation. I admit to you today that there are places that are inappropriate for young, impressionable minds.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
There are spaces that the young, less mature mind should not be exposed to, come on somebody, until later on in life. I believe that sometimes that is a big part of our problem, in that our children get exposure to the wrong things too early in life. But can I make a point here? But we should never deprive, hinder, or expose from the presence of our God.
That's right.
I think I'm telling you something this morning. You see, rather, we need to teach them and train them to know him from their early days. The writer of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, is a powerful reminder of the importance of children knowing who God is, and they place the burden, the responsibility on the parent. He says, for it says, I have given you commandments. You heard Pastor Keith read it, to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. He says, I give you these commandments today. In other words, he said to the grown folk, I need you to get it in you first, and then you need to get it inside your children. In other words, you get it, and then you pass it on to the next generation. I think we got a problem. I think there's a disconnect in the world in which we live, because if the mama don't know it and the daddy don't know it, how will they teach it to the children? We see where Deuteronomy was trying to get it into him. He said, I need you all grown folk to get it in you first, and then you get it inside of your children. He said, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to talk to me, talk about me wherever you are. I don't care if you're sitting in your home, sitting back in your leather lazy boy. I don't care if you're sitting at your kitchen table, out soaking in your jacuzzi tub. I need you to talk about me to your children. At home, and I don't care if you out in these streets doing what you do, talk about me from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed. He says, I need you to tie my words on your hands. I need you to put my words on your forehead. In other words, he says, I need you to put my words in their reach so that they will come to understand that I am within their reach. I believe we got to learn to let the children come. Encourage the children to come. Don't push them away. But I tell you, I came to tell you something else, that Jesus wasn't finished. He wasn't finished with his message of rebuke, and it was an absolute message of rebuke. My second point is this, don't you be a stumbling block. I don't know, Pastor Smotherson, but there was an ancient society. Children really were held at a low status. And because of their low status, the disciples thought it was all right to block their blessing. Jesus does not take kindly to those who are marginalized. I'm talking about people who are seen as less than. You know, those who are living on the fringes of society. You know, those people who live on the other side of the track. You know, those people who live in those kinds of homes. You know, the people who do drive those kinds of cars. He says, those are the people that on the fringes of our society. He says, but those, I don't want them to be pushed aside by the culture to be canceled because of their earthly status. We do have an earthly status, but we also got a kingdom status, Reverend Ronnie. Oh, yes, we do. We do have dual citizenship. Somebody needs to know that. You see, sometimes even grown folks who, by the way, should know better, will become an obstacle between God and his children. I seen it. I saw it in the text. You all heard me read it in the text. But here Jesus says, in plain English, don't ever get between them and me. In other words, Jesus wanted to assure that his compassion and his blessings could actually flow uninhibited to his children. Why is it that you might ask? Well, that comes up as the answer of my third point, which says, children matter to Jesus. Somebody needs to understand this. You have to wonder about that sometimes when we see the news. I just heard just the other day where somebody shot and killed a 12-year-old child. Now, that ought to disturb us.
Yes.
Why? What could a child do?
Say it.
At 12, that deserved that kind of response and violence perpetrated upon their lives. But we see from the text that Jesus has a strong reaction to the disciples who are hindering the children and blocking their blessings. One of the reasons is that the children matter to Jesus. Let me put it this way. Jesus prioritized children. When we look around in our world, we have to wonder where they fall in the line of hierarchy. They don't seem like they come up too high these days. I don't know how you see it, but his word says, he said the children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. I'm telling somebody, I'm teaching somebody something. That is a very powerful point. Whenever you find something that is at the center of something, it means it is something that is needed, it's something that is necessary, and is essential to its operation. It's not something that you can take it or leave it. It's not something that if we got it, okay. If we don't have it, it's okay. It means that it's necessary and essential. Jesus' point here is this, church, that instead of the adult demonstrating a kingdom principle to the children would demonstrate a kingdom principle to the adult. Won't Jesus do it? Won't he turn some stuff around sometime? We think it's one thing, and he shows us it's something totally different. Let me finish up, because the fourth and final point tells us this. We're going to have to learn to see God through the eyes of a child.
Amen.
When we get to the end of that passage of scripture, he says, mark this. In other words, are you here? Do you hear me? I need you to listen to this. I don't need you to sleep on this one. He says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you will never make it in. Then he gathered up those children in his arms. He laid his hands of blessing upon them. I like that in the scripture, because you see, Jesus simply ignored the disciples. I know that they were the trained men of the day, but he just ignored their request that was shooing them away. Because see here, what we got again is Jesus modeling the value of children to his own kingdom agenda. And if God is saying, I need them in the kingdom, we need to say, well, we put them in your kingdom. He's not asking the adults to become childish. He's not asking the adults to be silly. But he's simply saying, you must be childlike. It is that childlike, that childlike trust that you need to possess when all in the world is going upside down. When you can't see him, you still need to learn to have childlike trust. You gotta have that childlike dependency that needs to show up, that childlike attitude. outside of the will of God. And what's more, we will live eternally apart from him if we don't accept him like a child. Total dependence upon him. So Jesus has made his points. After he had made his points, Pastor King, he went ahead and he blessed all of those children. You see, I saw that kind of trust, that kind of dependence and humility and love and attitude in my own children as they were growing up. And I can see it right now in our grandson, Reverend Sherman, as he grows. You see, I can tell by even as a little child, the trust that he has in the people that have been entrusted to his care. Amen, somebody. You see, every time you hold him and he got his pacifier in his mouth. But if you take a bite of something, you're going to see that pacifier drop out and say, give me some. You see, he trusts that what I've given him is good for him. It could be any old thing for real. He knows that grandmama and Papa K, what we're going to give him is going to be good to him and it's going to be good for him. Glory to God. God, church, we got to remember it's our job to train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord our Savior. Can I tell you all, this morning, we can't take the example of Jesus' disciples in Mark, the 10th chapter. We got to understand that we got to let them come to Jesus, for that's what he wants them to do. We got to understand that we cannot be a stumbling block in the lives of our babies. And remember that children matter in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And fourth and finally, you got to remember to see God through the eyes of a child. And all the people who heard, I need somebody to say, train them up.